Trish, you stole my intro. I have nothing else to share, so I'm going to pray and let's worship. Yesterday I was at a training session, healing for our healing that's going to happen in service tonight. And I just felt like the Lord said, ask Emily and Belinda. Is Belinda here?
She's not here.
So I asked them to pray for me because I was having this hip pain, and it was like Trish, where like certain movements, it would be like shooting pain, where I would, that kind of pain. And so they prayed for me, and I was doing some movements. I was like, oh, I think it's better.
And so I was able to get into car, out of the car without any pain, went home. And I was walking around my house, and I noticed that I was walking the way that I would walk when I had the pain. So I would walk kind of like almost like a gunslinger, kind of like, and slow. And then I caught myself, and I said, wait. There's this healing that's happening in your hip. Why are you walking like that? And I think it was the Lord because it was, and I was like, oh my gosh. So then I started to walk normally, and then I was like, I can do this. It had been months that I had been walking this way, and now I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to learn how to walk again, because this is your reality now, not this. This is your new reality. And so it's interesting because I was walking down the hallways of our house. Well, we have one hallway. Make it sound so big. We have these huge hallways. No, we have one hallway. And there's a mirror at the end of it, and I could see myself. And I remember that one time I was kind of walking like this, and I'm looking at the mirror going, oh, wait a minute. That's not me. And so I straightened up, and then I was able to walk. And I had to... So then I was walking normal, like a normal person would. So I'm walking, and then I've had this thought, I actually have to catch myself. There's an intentional thinking that has to happen, because if I don't think, because I've been walking that way for so long, that is the way I do things up until yesterday. And so... just something as simple as walking in my house, I had to actually go, no, wait a minute, that's not who I am. That's not how I walk anymore. That's not what's happening, because God is starting this healing to happen in me, and so I don't have to walk all hunched over. I can walk straight. And I tell you, it's a little thing, but I was inside, I'm like, God, you're so good. You are so good, God. And of course, when I see Trish, be healed in Jesus' name. I'm going to declare that on other people, because I don't want them to experience that same pain and suffering and walking like that, like they don't have to. You know, a analogy, or what this is illustrating to me, is the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of times we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we just keep living the same way. I'm going to heaven, but yet I'm going to keep doing all the things I want to do in my life until the time when I die and I get to go to heaven. And it's like, no, that's the gospel of salvation. We want to learn the gospel of the kingdom and how God wants us to live every single day. But it's not something that we just kind of fall into. It is something that we have to train our minds in thinking. It's like my walking. I had to go, what? No. Stop shuffling. Stand up straight. Put one foot in front of the other, and let's walk. And you can and walk fast. Come on. Don't slow down. You can walk. You don't have to be so careful. Walk fast. Go. And it was an intentional training of my mind that I'm have to go through right now. And it's the same thing with the kingdom of heaven. Learning to walk in the kingdom of heaven, it's like me learning to walk again. It's this training that we have to go through. Romans 12:2 says it best. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, perfect will. Now, I think a lot of us, we've heard that verse. Yeah. Maybe we memorized it. Oh, yeah, I know Romans 12. I know 1 and 2. I'm better than you. I know 1 and 2, you know. But it's like, what does it actually mean? What does renewing our mind actually mean? And so we're going to go over that for this week and then a little bit more next week. The next 2 weeks, I'm going to do a short series on renewing the mind, having this kingdom mindset. And so what is renewing the mind? Okay, in short, there's a definition that I came up with. It's changing the habits and thoughts that are based on the world's wisdom into habits and thoughts that are based on God's truth. Okay, so it's changing the way that we live, the things that we're so used to doing and thinking, and these are things that we've heard and developed and grown up with, and changing it to what God says, right? No longer living and conforming to the pattern of this world, but now living a transformed life by the renewing of our mind. That's what I want to go over. That's what I feel like we need to hear. So God, the way he developed us, I'm sure like people in the medical field, they know this. God made our brains magnificent. I mean, our whole bodies are awesome, but the brain is so amazing. And not that I'm a neuroscientist or anything like that. So I just caught some things on videos on YouTube. So I'm going to give you a very basic layman's explanation about what happens with the brain. But our brain is very smart, and it creates neural pathways or connections to help us be efficient in the way we process things and the way we act. These pathways are created as we learn and experience aspects of life such as fear, survival, trauma, culture, and the repetition of these behaviors. By creating these pathways, we develop habits and automatic behaviors. And the more we behave according to these factors, the more ingrained the pathway becomes. Okay, so we're learning, our brain is able to develop these neural pathways from the things that we learn around us, from trauma, from survival instincts, from things that we see on TV, all these from different people. We're able to learn from all these things, and what happens in our brains is it starts developing these pathways. And the more and more that we think about those things, the more and more that we walk in them, the pathway becomes ingrained. It becomes a greater path because our brains are geared to be efficient, not necessarily doing the right thing, okay? So if you look at this picture, I want you to burn this picture in your mind because that's what's happened in our brains. So that's what happens in our brains. It's like this pathway that was built in the desert. That's what happens with our brains. We get these pathways, we're like, of this way of living. So when things come up, we respond in a certain way. And our brains are geared to be efficient, not necessarily doing the right thing. And so these pathways come, so then something happens, boom, we do this. We have this reaction. Something happens again, boom, we just do the reaction. Boom, something happens again, boom. And it just makes our brain and our bodies more efficient in the way that we respond to stimuli. Okay? That's what's happening. These, like I said before, these pathways help us to react to the world quickly and make us very efficient. But does being efficient mean that we are automatically acting and thinking in the right way? And it's not. It's not. As Paul is saying, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So there are two ways of thinking. There's a worldly way, and then there's a godly way. The worldly way, like I shared before, it's been drummed into us from the day we were born. In the way that our parents taught us things, God bless their hearts. In the way that they've tried to teach us, in the things that we've learned from our peers, watching movies, TVs, in the things that we learn how to survive in this world. And then when this happens, boom, that's what I'm supposed to do. Boom. Every time we see, boom, building that pathway, continually building and I just had this thought, killing the grass in this pathway, so that it becomes easier and easier and easier to travel, and quicker and quicker and quicker to respond. But as we've seen, like you guys have watched The Chosen, you have that graphic where the fish are all swimming in one direction, and then you have a few, the bright blue ones are swimming. I think Dan has a sweatshirt of that, where they're swimming. Paul is saying the same thing. He's saying, don't conform to the worldly ways of this life. There's this whole other world that I want you to be aware of. There's a whole world that the Bible talks about. And Jesus and the God is showing us how we are to live. What is the way we are to think? Because God's ways of thinking are very, very, very different than the way we think. And so he's saying, I want you to understand that there's a different way to live. The good news is God created our brains to constantly change as we face all the challenges of everyday life. You know, the changing of our brain, or the rewiring of our mind, is called neuroplasticity. And neuroplasticity is the actual rewiring and deconstructing and constructing of these neural pathways. And so because our brains can change, we can go through the process of deconstructing the old way of thinking and constructing new ways. And so that's what he's saying. Paul is saying, when he's saying, don't conform, I want you to deconstruct the ways that you have been doing things. I want you to think about what you are doing and understand how God wants you to live. And if it's different than what he says, then you got to tear that down. And it's not a matter of just build another one, because the brain going, that's not efficient to have two responses to whatever situation. That's not efficient. So there's got to be one. So what are we going to do? Are we going to keep the old one up, or are we going to say, no, that's not right. This is, put the new one in. And so in order to put the new one in, we've got to deconstruct the old one and say, no, no more. I don't even want that to be an option anymore to me. This is the one I want to do. You know, there's just, I was kind of trying to think of just, what are some examples of that? For me, personally, it's driving. When I drive, you know, I'm just kind of like driving, have worship music on or something, listening to a pastor speaking or whatever. I'm just kind of minding my own business, and then, boom, someone cuts me off. And then what is the normal reaction to that? Right? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe he cut me off. He cut me off. He's just like, so selfish and thinking about himself and not even caring about what he's doing and all. And I've in the past, okay, in the past, long time ago, it would mess up my day. Or maybe not my day, but like if I'm going to a meeting or something, I would go to that meeting or that lunch and I'd be in a bad mood because someone cut me off. And in my mind, I'm just thinking of all the different things that could have happened. Why did he do that? All these different, and it was important for me to get to the person's motivation. And so when I get into that, then it's like, oh man, it's probably this and this and this and this. But I heard a message and talking about our attitudes and how we have choices in our attitudes towards those kind of circumstances. And so I remember starting to think, you know what? I think more of the kingdom way of thinking is to, Jesus said, love your enemies, right? So, okay, how can I love? Pray for them. How can I do that? So what I started thinking is, when someone cuts me off, I'm going to pray for them. Okay? Next time that someone cuts me off, wait, I forgot I was going to pray for them. So, okay. So in the beginning, it's, Lord, I pray that they get a ticket. I pray that something happens with them. And then I felt the Lord said, no. Okay, so I'm not there yet, God. I'm still rewiring. And so it's, how can I pray for them the way God would pray for them, the way God would see them? So, Lord, Lord, I pray that you would meet them in their car, that whatever it is that they're going through, whatever, if there's an emergency or something, that you would meet them in that place, and that you would comfort them if they need that. If they are stressed, that you would meet them, that your peace would invade the car. And I started to do that. And what I realized is, I noticed is, in before, like when I first started doing that, it would take me a while to get to that place because I need to get all that out, right? So maybe, I don't know, 15 minutes. But then the next time I do it, it's less. It doesn't take 15 minutes, maybe 12 minutes. And the next time, 10 minutes. And it gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter to the point where now it's just seconds where someone's like, whoa, what are they doing? Okay, you know what? I'm going to pray for them. And because I could see I could feel it in my head, the neural pathway being created by saying, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray for them. I'm not going to let other people's driving habits ruin my day. And so that's a neural pathway that I've been convicted of and stepping into, and I can see how the Lord is slowly starting to deconstruct that old way and construct this new way of thinking. And I tell you, the life that it brings when we step into the kingdom lifestyle is just so much better than that whole, you know. Because in the moment, it may feel good to, like, you know, but what does it do? It does nothing, right? It does nothing. And I feel like, I don't even know if it does nothing. I don't think it may even do bad things, right? So it's just not like this nothing thing. It's like, who am I attracting in this complaining? So, I feel like I got to change. And so that's been one of my things. I mean, I've gotten a million things that I want to deconstruct. But the Lord says, you know what, let's just take one at a time. Okay, let's just take one at a time. You're going to be so overwhelmed if you try to do too many at the same time. So, okay, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. Thank you that, and that's why it's going to take me a lifetime to grow into this. Because it's not something that I can take on everything at one time. I would just, yeah. So, you know, what was interesting is at the training yesterday, Dean had shared something that I'm not even sure if I caught everything about what he said, but he said something to the effect of one-third of reality of this life is this tangible world that we see, smell, taste, feel, all of that. It's one-third. And there's two-thirds of life that is the unseen. This is the spiritual realm. And but to me, it's like, okay, I don't know how he came to those ratios, but I'm like, doesn't matter, because really what I believe what he's saying is true. There is more to the spiritual, to life in the spiritual realm than is what we can feel. And so if we're going to stay connected only to the things that we can see, hear, touch, and feel, the things that are the physical parts of this world, we're going to miss out on a lot of what God has for us, because there's this whole spiritual realm that we're missing. If we're not aware, in what God is doing and what he wants to do with us. You know, in Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Basically, he's saying, seek the king, seek his kingdom, seek his righteousness, all these things that we cannot see, and all the things that we can feel, touch, will be added unto us. God is going to provide that for us. He's saying, don't worry about this stuff. Think about what God, seek him first. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness first. All that other stuff will be taken care of. You don't have to worry about that. So he's saying, set your mind on the invisible, on the spiritual. Everything else will be taken care of. He also says, Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Okay, again, saying the same thing. I want you to think about what's going on in the heavenlies. Set your mind, set your eyes, set your heart on those things. Don't set it on the things of this earth. And this one, 2 Corinthians 4:18, I love this one. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since the seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And so he's saying, look, set your eyes on the things that are eternal, the things that'll matter for all eternity. All this other stuff is going to burn. It's going to burn. In this lifetime, which we are like a vapor, if we keep our hearts and our minds and our focus on these things, we're like setting importance and value to something that is so little compared to all eternity. And I bet you when we get to heaven, we're going to be like, oh, look at the treasures in heaven that God is giving to us. Look at all the stuff that's available to me. And what was I focused on most of my life? You see that pile of ashes? That's what you were focused on. All the stuff that got burnt up. But all these things that are eternal, this is what I want to reward you with. And so it's like, wow, Lord, can I make that shift now where I'm not going through my whole life thinking about those things that are temporary? Let me focus. Let me start focusing more and more and more on the things that are eternal, which is how to live in this kingdom. You know, God, and you guys know this, God thinks so differently than us. It's amazing. It's amazing how different he thinks. He's saying, look, focus on the eternal. If you want to be first, you got to be last. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. That doesn't make sense from a worldly perspective. If you want to be first, you got to be first. You want to be last, then you got to be last. But if you want to be first, you got to be first. Jesus says, no. No, I flip it upside down. If you want to be first, you need to be last. He says, like I said earlier, love your enemies and do good to those that hate you. That doesn't make sense. From a worldly perspective, no. Someone's your enemy, you crush them. You do whatever it takes to cancel them, right? We're seeing that. The people that hate you, you don't bless them. You don't pray for them. You don't love them. The people that hate you, you hate them back. Jesus says, no. No. Not according to my kingdom. Not according to the way I work. Not according to the way my laws work. Nope. So these are the reasons why, why we need to, what is the renewed mind and what we're going through is to learn how Jesus works. What are his truths? What are his principles? And let those things be the way we live our lives instead of what's true in this world or what this world teaches. Okay, so that's great. That's great. We're learning about what the renewed mind looks like. Okay, but then it seems so hard. Isn't this enough that we just kind of take a few things and then apply apply them to our lives, and that's enough. And it's like, well, if you want a life that's sort of has tinges of God and the kingdom, then go ahead. But he's saying, no, I want to give you, once you receive me as your Lord and Savior, I want you to experience an abundant life. A life that blows away any expectation that you can have, any dream that you can have, because my ways and my desires for you and what I've made you for is greater than anything you can ever come up on your own. That it's like, no, I have more for you. I have so much more for you. And if you think that you can operate in my kingdom according to my principles and my truth and my promises using that old way of thinking, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. There needs to be a mind shift change. There needs to be a renewing, a rethinking, deconstructing, destroying of all these old ways of thinking, because I don't want children who are double-minded. I want kids who say, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what I'm focused on. When I'm running this race, I look for Jesus. I'm looking for what he wants for me, and I'm not going to let other things distract me, and I'm going to run this race with everything that I have, and that's the best life that we can have. And he's saying, that's what I want for every single one of my sons and daughters, is that you to have that life where you just go, oh my gosh, God, I was made to do this. I was made to do this. This is, oh, as I step into my identity as your son, I realize this is what I was made to do. And there's just so much fulfillment and life in that. And a lot of times we're just so busy chasing all these other things, and God is saying, I have it for you. I have it right here for you. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's in you. It's right there. Come on. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. It's right there. Let's spend time together. Let's renew our mind and all that he wants for us. That's why it's important to have our minds renewed. That's why it's important not to just continue going down the road of what is everybody else doing? What is everybody else? I'm just going to follow the line. I'm just going to be like the lemming. And then I'm just going to follow the person in front of me. And then if they go off the cliff, well, I guess I'm going off a cliff. No, no. He doesn't want that for us. He wants more. He wants more. What am I talking about here? He wants us to live that transformed life. As he says in Romans 12, right? Be transformed. Be changed. Be like Jesus. This is what I'm making you into. But you got to do it by the renewing of your mind. This is one of the key things that needs to happen, is we need to see and understand how the kingdom works, and so that we can step into reflecting or representing to the world more and more of what Jesus looks like. You know, in our small groups, we're going through the serving challenge. And it's been a great series to go through. We're not done. I don't know if you guys are done, but we're about halfway through. And learning how to serve as Jesus served. And, you know, some of the stories that come out. Richard was sharing with our group, with the men's group in our small group, that usually when he sees, you know, someone that's homeless or whatever, he just gives them money or whatever, but then he just keeps going on with his day. But he just felt like this one guy that he saw, and the guy wasn't like begging for anything. He was just sitting there, and you could tell he was having a hard day. And Richard just said, I'm going to talk to him. Because that's what Jesus would do. So he went over to him and started talking to him, and he goes, oh, this guy was a really great guy, got his name, and just talked with him and just asked him, you know, what's going on, and was able to get him, I think, did you give him some food? You gave him some food, huh?
Yeah, we purchased like a plate of fruit.
Oh, yeah. So they were able to give him some stuff, and just, you know, as he's sharing that story, I'm going, yes, you're being Jesus to him. When so many homeless just feel so unseen, that Richard basically said, I see you. And tell me your story. Tell me what's going on. Martha had shared, I mean, she has so many stories where she shares this. She actually has friendships with some homeless people that she sees, you know, outside the stores and everything. So she knows them by name. So she saw this one guy and she goes, oh, okay, Lord, I'm going to go inside to Vaughn's and I'm going to get him some food. So, Lord, tell me what you want me to get. So she went inside and then she was like, okay, let me get this. And so she got all these different food. Then she came out and she saw another guy that she knows. And so she went up to him and said, hey, so how you doing? Started talking to him. And then he goes, oh, so what would you like? You know, I want to give you some food and stuff. What would you like? So he said, oh, I can't remember exactly what the food was, but he said, oh, I would like this. And she goes, oh, I got it. So she gave it to him. And I don't think it was exactly the same thing, but it was like, you know, some kind of cereal. And I got cereal. And so she gave it to him. And so he was like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. So she went to the other guy. And she said, oh, so what would you like? And he goes, oh, I would like this. And she goes, here you go. I got it. And so for her to step into that situation, and again, just being Jesus to those people, to show them that I see you and Jesus loves you. And by the way, here's some things that Jesus told me to get for you. I mean, come on, right? That's the way the Lord works. When we're willing to listen and hear and step into things of his kingdom, those kind of miracles happen where people are just so blessed. And we've seen, as we're seeing in this world, that people need Jesus. This world, it's so dark, but we need to be and represent Jesus to people. So that's one part, is as we get transformed, we become more and more like Jesus. But another part is, Paul is saying, as you are transformed, then you will be able, this is part two of the verse, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so as we spend time with the Lord, listening, reading, letting him shape our minds in the way he thinks, in the way he perceives things, that we're able to understand and get a glimpse of how does God, what is he doing in this situation? What does he want me to do in this situation? We're be able to better test and approve and understand and discern what is it that he wants me to do in this situation. But the closer and closer, it's that proximity with him. As we spend time with him, that our minds are changed, that we get to understand, and we get to even discern, oh, this is God. This is the voice of God, because I've heard him before. As it says, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. And so the more and more time we spend with Jesus, the more and more time we spend with God, we get to understand and recognize his voice faster and faster and faster. And so when we're going through situations in life, whether it's with other people or challenges or different things that we face, we can say, hey, I think God wants me to do this because this is what I'm sensing, or this is what I know of him. I'm not sensing anything, but this is what I know of his heart and his character and his nature. So I think this is what I'm supposed to do. This is the next step. But we're able to discern and understand what his will is. Okay. So the last part I want to go over is how do we renew our minds? Okay? Now that we're all convinced that we need to have renewed minds, how? Okay? And my thing to you is come next week and I will go into what it is that we're supposed to do. Kind of. I'm going to go over it real quickly, but next week I'm going to go over more in depth on the details on how we grow in this way, okay? So the first one, how do we grow, is to be aware of your thoughts. Be aware of your thoughts. We can't just let every single thought that comes to mind, give it time in our mind to grow and to set roots in our minds. Okay? We have to be proactive in this. Okay? If we let thoughts that are laced with fear, worries, lies, etc., if we let those sit and marinate in our brains, guess what's going to happen? It's going to start setting down roots. And it's going to start infecting and affecting the way we think. And so then a lot of the things that we start thinking is going to be laced with those things, with fear and worry and anxiety and with lies. And we don't want that. We don't want that. So what we need to do is recognize which of the ones are from God, which are the ones that are not from God. The ones that are not from God, don't let them in. Just don't let them in. Right? And we focus on the things that are of God. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't even let those ones that are, oh, I feel fear. Oh, what if this happens? What if? Don't even let it in. Go to this and just say, God, I know that you are faithful. God, I know that you love me. God, I know. And start thinking about all those things. Okay? The second one is repetition and practice. Just like anytime we go through training, you gotta practice, right? You gotta practice. If you learn how to play basketball and you just, okay, let me watch. Okay, that's how you dribble. Okay. Oh, that's how you shoot. Okay. Okay. That's how you jump. That's how you do a layup. Okay. Okay. I got it. I don't need to practice. No. You might want to be a coach that you can tell other people what to do. But to be a player, you got to practice. And it's the same thing with renewing the mind. We got to understand these things, figure out what it is that we're going to do, and then you got to practice, and then you got to do it over and over again. Joshua 1:8 says this, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written on it, in it. Then you'll be able to be prosperous and successful. The word meditate in the Hebrew, it means to utter or mutter or speak. And it's like a cow that chews its cud over and over and then swallows it and then brings it back up again and chews it, sends it back down, bring it up again, chew it. It's the same thing. And I'm going to talk about meditation next week because that's going to be one of the key tools that we're going to need. Okay, so repetition and practice. And the third one is manage emotions with perspective and perspectives with joy and gratitude. Manage our emotions and perspectives with joy and gratitude. Now, I know it's hard, and I'm not saying stuff it down. If you feel sad or if you feel angry or you feel whatever, stuff it down. No. Bring it to the Lord. Don't bring it to other people, because when we bring it to other people, it's complaining. And God says, don't complain. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Let him minister to us in that place. And then you can tell him whatever you want to tell him. You can say whatever you want to say to the Lord. He can handle it. But then at the end, he will say, or he will show us that where is a place for joy and gratitude in our lives? What are the things that we're supposed to rejoice in? What are the things we're supposed to be thankful for? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it, rejoice. Always. Always. Not sometimes, not only when things are going good. Always. 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 and 8, 6 through, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's not easy, but it's a choice that we have to make to be joyful and to be thankful. You know, I've been having health issues. You guys, some of you may know what's been going on, but I've been having problems with my back and with this and stenosis and all this stuff. So it's nerve thing, and it's causing pain and numbness in my feet. And this 2025, I would say 2025 was probably the worst year of my life physically, and yet I grew so much spiritually. It was probably the best year of my life spiritually, but it was the worst. The pain that I was in at times was just no fun. And I remember there were times at night where I'm going to sleep, and it could be a Saturday where it's like, oh, I got church the next day, or I got meetings the next day. I got to get to sleep. I got to sleep. But because of the shooting pain that would go down my legs, that it would be like, oh, man, I cannot sleep. I'm in so much pain. So, you know, I tried different positions. Didn't do anything. Trying different medications. Ibuprofen didn't do anything. I was taking like 4 pills at a time at one point, and it would do nothing. I was taking some homeopathic medication. Little bit, maybe a little bit. So pretty much I just got to suffer through it. So I remember this one night where I was just, I mean, I had been just so tired of just dealing with all this. I was just crying in bed and telling Ida, can you pray over me? Can you pray over me? And in fact, can you sing in the spirit over me? Because I'm just so tired of this pain. And it's just, obviously it's painful. And just going through that. And so she's singing over me, and I'm like, okay, I can feel my body relaxing even though there's pain. And just going, okay, Lord. And I remember at one point going, God, I'm your son. I'm your son, and I'm suffering right now. And I can't find any relief from this pain. Can you help me? Can you help me right now? And I remember the Lord just coming. And it was like literally I could feel his hands coming around me. And holding me tight. And it's like he's saying, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Just like a father would, right? If your child is hurting, a father or a mother would come and go, I'm here, I'm here. And I remember being held by him and feeling the pain still running through my legs. But I was thinking, you know what? His presence is greater than any relief of the pain that I can experience. So at that moment, it didn't matter that the pain was still there because I was in the presence of the Lord. And then what I started doing was I started remembering Romans 8:28. And it says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I was like, God, right now it's not good. So I know that you're working. I know that you're working to my good, to bring me more into the image of Christ. So I know. So I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 popped in. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Even in this pain, I trust you. Even in this journey, I trust you. And then I started singing. So I'm in bed. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going, I love you, Lord, for your mercies never fail me. In all my days, I am held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. And singing that, singing the chorus over and over. And even though I'm feeling the pain, I know he is faithful, and that he is good, and that he has always shown himself to be good to me, that he will do it again, even in this season. And I tell you, that's some of the practices, the things that we need to do to change our mindset and not let our circumstances dictate to us how we're going to live. But to say, you know what, pain? Look it in the face. You know what, pain? I am not going to turn my eyes off Jesus. I'm not going to take my eyes off Jesus. You can do whatever you want to do to this body, but I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. And the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this life is not my own anymore. I have been crucified with him. When Christ died, I died. When he was resurrected, I was resurrected. And now in Christ, I am seated at the right hand of the Father. And I am not going to bow down to anything else in this world. I don't care how much pain. I don't care how sad. I am not going to do that. Because he deserves everything. He deserves everything. And so that is my hope for our church. Is that we would see our wills that are submitted to the Lord become more and more a part of how we live. That it's like, I know my thinking, yeah, my feelings, yeah, want to bring them into line with the Lord, but also my will, and that I'm going to persevere, and I'm not going to run away, and I'm not going to try to escape or bury my head in the sand until this is all over. But I'm going to say, no, Lord, there are things you want me to learn in this season of trial that I'm going to receive from you, because you are good and you are faithful and you are loving and you are just. So God, let's do it. Let's do it. And I pray for our church that we would hear those stories, those testimonies of people persevering, and not by their own strength, not in the flesh, but saying, I held on to the Father's hand, like his son, like his daughter. I held onto his hand. I said, okay, God, let's go. Let's go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Let the worship team come on up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you are the creator of the universe. Bigger, 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 bigger than the universe. And that you are for us, not against us. Thank you, Lord, that you hold us in the palm of your righteous right hand to give us strength, to encourage us, to embolden us, God. Thank you for the ways that you are working in our lives. Thank you that you are so faithful. Thank you that we can entrust our lives into your hands. So, Lord God, I pray that we would entrust our minds into your hands. That we would say, yeah, God, I want to renew my mind. I want to think like you think. I want to perceive the world and other people like you do. How do you see it? How do you see this person? This person that, oh man, irritates the heck out of me. Lord, I know you made them. They may not be a Christian, but you made them. And so there's gold in that person. How do you see them? And I want to see that gold, and I want to speak that gold into that person. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, in this time of worship, I pray that we can just present our hearts to you as we sing out loud, that we can say, yeah, God, you're the God I trust. You're the one I love. Switch everything around if you need to. But, God, I want to live in your kingdom according to your ways. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.